Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Tes Zayin. We are holding on daf Tes Vav Amid Beis. We are at the two dots, or that's where we're going to pick up from, at least at the two dots on Tes Vav Amid Beis. Welcome, everybody, from all over the world. And so I guess this is the one positive of being able to do the daf yomi on Zoom, is to be able to welcome so many new participants to the daf yomi shir. Today's shir is sponsored, first of all, anonymously in honor of the fellow's son and brother who finished Maseches Brachos and the rest of the family that joined for Maseches Shabbos, and also sponsored by BZ Levavitz, Le'ila Nishmas, his father, Rav Chaim Yosef, Ben Rav Reuven Halevi Levavitz. His yard site was the 24th of Adar, and by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank them very much for the sponsorship. So today we're going to continue discussing the Yud Ches Davar, the 18 Gzeros, the 18 Takanos that they accepted from the Beis Shammai when the Beis Shammai outvoted the Beis Hillel. So what we're going to discuss primarily today is the Gzera on Klei Zechuchis. Why is it that glass kelim become tameh? And we're going to try to work on comparisons between glass kelim and other types of kelim that we know have an issue of tuma, meaning kelim made out of cheres and kelim made out of mataches, and in what ways glass kelim are like clay cheres, and in what ways glass kelim are like clay mataches, because those are going to be the two models that we follow. Then the Gemara is going to discuss on Amud Beis the tuma status of a reconstituted kli, because in order to be metaher a kli, one way to be metaher a kli is by breaking it, by destroying it. Well, then when you reconstitute it, when you rebuild the broken kli, it can then become tameh again, or perhaps not. So we're going to discuss why they would make a gzeira that certain kelim become tameh again when you reconstitute them after they've already achieved tahara by being broken. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to discuss the psul of mayim she'uvim for water that overflows from kelim that happen to have been out there catching rain. What kinds of kelim that happen to have caught rain are going to render the water that falls into them, whether it be water that falls from gutters or just water that falls straight from the rain, are going to render such water into mayim she'uvim. So let's begin again, daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, at the two dots. Before we get into anything on today's daf, it's important to have a little bit of a primer in the halachos of Kabbalah's Tumah for different types of kelim. There are a number of kelim that are explicitly mentioned in the Torah. All such kelim have some level of Kabbalah's Tumah. The Torah itself talks about Kli Eitz, it talks about Begadim, Or, and Sak, it talks about Kli Etzem, Kli Mateches, it lists off six different types of metals that would qualify as Kli Mateches, and it talks about Kli Cheres. But the Torah does not ever talk about Kli Galalim, Kli Avanim, Kli Adama, and therefore on a Daraisa level, such kelim are in fact not Mekabel Tumah at all. Klei Zechuchis are also not mentioned in the Torah as something that's Mekabel Tumah, but we're going to see that the Rabbanan were Mesakein, that Klei Zechuchis are in fact Mekabel Tumah. Any time a kli becomes tameh, the way to be metayer it is by bringing it to the mikvah, except for kli cheres. Kli cheres, the only way to be metayer it is by shvira. Now, shvira, breaking it, works for all types of kelim, but kli cheres, that's the only way to be metayer a kli cheres. There's also differences between klei mateches and kli cheres in terms of how they become tameh. Klei mateches are mekabel tumah min haTorah, whether they are flat kelim, whether they have a base kibul. Other kelim are only mekabel tumah if they have a base kibul. All other types of kelim are mekabel tumah bein mitocham bein migabam, whether from the inside or from the outside. Klei cheres are only mekabel tumah me'aviram, from the inside of the kli, even if and the severity of that of being able to be mekabel tumah from the inside of a kli when it comes to a kli cheres is such that even if the tumah doesn't touch the inside of the kli, it's just dangling in the airspace of a kli cheres, it's able to be mekabel tumah, but the same would not be true by a kli mateches. So now, says the Gemara, klei zechuchis my time agazu b'rabbanan tumah. Why were the rabbanan gozer tumah on klei zechuchis? On a daraisa level, glass kelim are not mekabel tumah. So what motivated the rabbanan to be gozer tumah on klei zechuchis? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, I'm Reish Lakish, ho'ol utchilas b'riyason minachol, shavin rabbanan kli cheres. Since glass is made from sand, so the rabbanan treated like clay cheres. Now that line itself is not surprising. If it's made from sand, so it would stand to reason that it would be similar to clay cheres. What is surprising is who said that line. What is it? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Reish Lakish, that it's Rabbi Yochanan quoting the Shita of Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out that that is unusual, that for Rabbi Yochanan to say something named Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. You find a number of Achronim deal with this issue, are bothered by why it is that Rabbi Yochanan is quoting Reish Lakish. So some suggest that Reish Lakish was a Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Yochanan. We certainly know that because Rabbi Yochanan referred to Reish Lakish as Mar, and after he was absolutely broken after Reish Lakish died. We find in the Gemara Maseches Tainis that Rabbi Yochanan Ki'ilu couldn't move on with his life after Reish Lakish died. He had no nechama after losing a chavrusa like Reish Lakish, and this is the same Rabbi Yochanan that we learned in the beginning of Maseches Brachos, Dame Gorma Dasira Abir, that he had buried 10 sons, and nevertheless losing his chavrusa was just absolutely crippling to him. My friend Rabbi Yehuda Balzin once explained that a person could go through a lot of tzaros, but they need that like one thing, that one bedrock of normalcy in their lives. So Rabbi Yochanan could go through losing 10 sons, but he always had that chavrusa. He always had that limud that he had with Reish Lakish, and that was his normalcy that he was always able to go back to. I think that's what, like for many of us, that's what Daf Yomi is when we're going through times like this where we can't leave our house and we can't go to work and we can't do anything that we would normally do, to have that that normal, consistent daily routine of having the Daf Yomi. That's what keeps us sane. You know, I've been signing off all my emails, stay safe and stay sane, because I'm more worried about the second one than I am about the first one. The other Achronim suggest differently why it is Rabbi Yochanan. The Melor Royim says Rabbi Yochanan is not quoting Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan is quoting Reish Lamed, and it stands for Rabbi Levi, and not Reish Lakish. That was a mistake to assume that it's Reish Lakish over here. Sfasema says that maybe this was some other Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, those are a little bit dachuk. There are older texts that the Gilyon quotes that do not have Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that just quote this from Reish Lakish. But back to our topic over here, the Gemara wants to know, why is it that the Rabbanan were gozer tumah on clay zechuchis? A very simple answer, because glass is very similar to pottery in that it's made from sand. And therefore, if pottery is going to be able to become tameh, glass will be able to become tameh as well. So Elameata says, "Well, if that's the case, lo teilen tara b'mikvah. So then go all in, make it just like pottery. Pottery has no tara b'mikvah. You can. The only way to be metarik licharis is shvira. So lama tanan ve'elu chotzin b'kelim. Why then does the Mishnah tell us in the ninth parak of Maseches Mikvaos that if you're tovel kelim in a mikvah and they have a certain type of chatzitza on them, the tevil is not going to work, and the following things are chatzitza hazefes vahamor b'klei zuchuchis, regardless of what zefes and mor are, which is a discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim, the point is that there is some type of chatzitza on klei zuchuchis when you are bringing them to the mikvah. It only makes sense to have a problem of a chatzitza if this is something that could achieve tahara b'mikvah. If it can't achieve tahara b'mikvah in the first place, then what are you talking about a chatzitza for? So Elamai, what do you see from here? That klei zuchuchis can achieve tahara b'mikvah, but if klei zuchuchis are just supposed to be like klei cheres, why in the world do they have tara b'mikvah? So the Rishonim are bothered. Isn't there a simple answer to this question? All it says is that there's a reason that one would bring klei zuchuchis to a mikvah. It doesn't say because the klei zuchuchis became tameh. It just says that one might bring klei zuchuchis to a mikvah. Well, there's another reason why you bring kelim to a mikvah that has absolutely nothing to do with tumah. Tevilas kelim. You buy a kli from a non-Jew. That's a sugya and avodah zarah daf ayin hey. The halacha is that you have to be tovel such kelim. This is a problem that many of our communities are having right now in terms of where to do tevilas kelim. If there's concern of the virus passing through surfaces that are being touched and through waters that aren't chlorinated and things like that. So this is an issue that many, many communities are dealing with, especially right before Pesach, when everyone's buying new kelim, and especially since so many people who were never home for Pesach before are now home for Pesach and have to buy all of these new kelim and have to tovel them. So it's a serious issue. It's a serious problem that every rabbi I know is dealing with right now. But the question over here is, why don't don't we just answer that we're talking about when you bring the glass kli to a mikveh for tvilas kelim, not because of tumah of the kli. Tvilas kelim has nothing to do with tumah. So the Tosas Harash suggests, because the Mishnah goes on to mention kli eitz as well, and the halacha is that wooden kelim, while they can become tamei, do not require tvilas kelim when you buy from a guy. And therefore, it's unlikely that the type of tevila that we're talking about is tevilas kelim from when you buy from a non-Jew. Alternatively, the Tosafos HaRash suggests that even if the Mishnah is talking about kelim that you bought from a guy, the Gemara's kasha would still stand, because you see that kli zuchuchis are not like kli cheres, because kli cheres that you buy from a guy do not require tevila. Meaning, if the whole idea of kli zuchuchis having a status of a kli is because it's just like kli cheres, so then it should be exactly like kli cheres for all of its halachos in terms of tumah tahara, and in terms of tevilas kelim. Well, guess what? Kli cheres don't require tevilas kelim either. So the Gemara's kasha would stand anyway. So the Gemara's stuck with this question at this point, that if kli zuchuchis are like kli cheres, how come we talk about the inyan of chatzitza on kli zuchuchis that are brought to a mikveh? Why would a kli zuchuchis ever have to be brought to a mikveh? So says the Gemara, no, kli zuchuchis, you're right, are like kli cheres, and we bring them to a mikveh, therefore, does not help. But hacha b'mayaskina, and the Mishnah talks about a chatzitz on klei zuchuchis, is talking about a case kigon shenikvo vehetiv l'tochan avar. The case is that the klei zuchuchis broke; it had a hole in it, and it made it useless. And then you filled that hole with a metal in order to close off that hole, and therefore it now becomes useful only on account of the metal component within it. For Rabbi Meir, he da amar akal holich achar ha-maimid. And we're assuming, like the sheet of Rabbi Meir, that if there's something that's maimid the kli, something that makes the kli useful, and that maimid is a mateches, that maimid is a metal, so mele, the whole kli has a status of a metal. So why would a kli zuchuchis ever have to be brought to a mikvah and ever have an issue of chatzitza? Because it's not a kli zuchuchis anymore, it's a kli zuchuchis that has a maimid of mateches, and that gives the entire kli the status of mateches. Where do we find Rav Meir hold such a thing? D'tanya, klei zuchuchis nikvu vival natoch vihitif l'tochan avar. Amar Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Meir mitamei v'cham mitarin. That Rav Meir is mitamei. He holds that it's mekabel tuma min haTorah, because we look at the maimed and it has a din of kli mateches, and the cham mar mitar. They say that it's not mekabel tuma min haTorah like a kli mateches, because fundamentally it's a klei zuchuchis. You just happen to patch it up with some metal. So says Mar Elameata, if you can say that the reason that klei zuchuchis is mekabel tuma is like we've been explaining, that it has the status of kli cheres, top of tezayin amud aleph now, lo litmu mi gabon, then it should be just like a kli cheres where it can't become tamei from tuma touching the outside of the kli. A kli cheres cannot become tamei when tuma touches the outside of the kli, only when tuma touches the avir, or when tuma is dangling or touching the avir of the kli. Alama tanan, why then does the Mishnah say in the second paragraph of Maseches Kelim that klei cheres u klei neser tum asan shava mitamin u mitamin meavirein, klei cheres and klei neser, kelim that are made out of white earth, they have the same tuma status in that they are mekabel tuma and they are mitame other things from the avir kli, even if they don't touch the tuma u mitamin, and they're mekabel tuma meachorehen from the reverse side of the kli as well. That if there's a hollow area on the reverse side of the kli, so then on the bottom of the kli, down here, right? If there would be a, so I get to can't do this on the old off app with demonstrations. So you have if you were to have a hollow area, I can't turn this upside down because there's water in it. But if you have a hollow area on the bottom of the kli, so there's a little bit of avir over there as well, and it'll be mekabel tuma from that as well. Ve'in mitamin, but here's the point: it's not mitamei mikabehen. It does not become tamei when something touches the outside of the kli, ushvirasin mitaharatan, and breaking it is mitarit. But klei neser, klei cheres hu detumas on shava. What's the Mishnah highlighting? That dafka klei neser and klei cheres have this status when it comes to tuma of midachrin lo. But it sounds like to the exclusion of every other type of kli, including a klei zuchuchis, that a glass kli does not have the same rules of tuma that a kli cheres has. It's mekabel tuma. A glass kli would be mekabel tuma, even migal Rabbam, even when you touch when Tumah touches the outside of the kli. So that's a kasha on Reish Lakish, who says that the reason the chum where goes a Tumah and Klei Zuchuchis is because it's similar to a kli cheres. Why isn't it totally the same as a kli cheres then with regard to how it becomes tame? So answers the Gemara Amri, Kevin the Chinishtabru Yeshlam Takana Shavinu Kli Matachos, that they answered that yes, it's like a kli cheres, but it's also, glass is also somewhat similar to a kli mateches. In what ways is it similar to a kli mateches? That if it were to break, there's a way to fix it. Kli cheres you cannot fix when they break. Glass can be fixed, it can be repaired when it's broken, and therefore we also give it some of the chumras of a kli mateches, namely that it can become tameh from the outside. Now Tosus points out that it's very important that the girsa over here be Amri, kiven dechinishtabru, not Ella Amri. If you have Ella Amri, that would imply that we're changing our mind from the Gemara's first answer. The Gemara had asked why we were gozer tumah on a kli cheres, so we said, oh, because on a kli zechuchas, rather, we said, oh, it's just like a kli cheres. Are we backtracking from that now? Says Tosfos, absolutely not. Fundamentally, the reason we're gozer tumah on a kli zechuchas is because it's like a kli cheres. It's just that we're adding that it also has something in common with a kli mateches. You cannot say that we're backing out of the comparison to a kli cheres, because it's not enough to say that it's like a kli mateches since it could be repaired. That's not enough of a similarity. It has to be that they were gozer tumah because fundamentally, really, it's similar to a kli cheres. And just how we treat that tumah, the specific rules of that tumah could be modified based on some small similarity to a kli mateches. But fundamentally, it really still remains a kli cheres. So according to this idea that they made it like a kli mateches, kli zechuchis are not mekabel tumah. The Marsha points out kli zechuchis should only be mekabel tumah b'maga, that they should only become mekabel tumah when something touches it, but not me'aviram, because the kli matachos are not mekabel tumah me'aviram. So the Sfasemis says, no, that's the whole point Tosus is making, that you're not going to limit it the way kli matachos are limited. It's still going to be able to be mekabel tumah me'aviram, because fundamentally, it's a kli cheres. If you were saying that, forget about the whole kli cheres comparison, it's just like a kli mateches, so then kli zechuchas wouldn't be able to be mekabel tumah from the avir, from the airspace, only from actual touching. But since we're still maintaining the comparison to kli cheres, and it's just that we're modifying the comparison based on the fact that it's also somewhat similar to kli mateches, that's why it's still able to become tameh me'avir, even as it's able to become tameh migabam when something touches the outside of the kli. So says the Gemara Elameata, now that you're saying that we make kli zechuchis like kli mateches, like metal kalim in terms of being mekabel tumah from the outside of the kli, and why do we make it that way? Because if you break it, you could fix it. So if that's the case, if they became tameh, and then you were metar them by breaking them, and then you fixed them again, yachsu l'tumas yishana, we should make it fully like kli mateches, in that it should become tameh again when you fix it. Kli matachos, because we do have such a din by kli matachos. The halacha is that if you have a tameh metal kli, so you can bring it to the mikvah, or you could smash it, you could break it. And if you destroy it, it's tahar. But then when you reconstitute it, it goes back to its old tumah on a derabbanan level. So shouldn't we say the same thing by kli zechuchis? Where do we find such a thing by kli matachos? Titnana, Mishnah, the 11th parak of Maseches Kelim. Kli matachos pshuteyen umikableyen temeyen. Temeyen, kli matachos, whether they're flat or whether they have a base kibul, they're tameh, they're mekabel tumah. Nishburu tiaru. But if they are broken, once they're broken, they become tahor from their tumah. But then, chazav asim and kelim, chazu l'tumas and yishana. If you reconstitute them, you fix them, you make new kelim out of them, they go back to their old tumah. Vilu gabe klei zechuchis tanan, yet the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Kelim, when it comes to klei zechuchis, that's not the halacha. Klei eitz, uklei or, uklei atzem, uklei zechuchis, pshutei and tahor in a mekablin temein. Flat klei zechuchis are tahor, klei zechukas rava beis kibul are tame, nishperu tiaru, if you break them, they become tar, chazar vasa man kelim, mekabel tumah, mekabel laba, and if you reconstitute them, make new kelim out of them, they are mekabel tumah going forward, meaning they have the status of a kli, that if a new sheretz touches them, then mekabel tumah, but mekabel laba in the mafreya lo, but the old tumah doesn't get revisited, the old tumah doesn't come back to a reconstituted klei zechukas. So frak the Gemara, wait a second, if you're going to give a klei zechukas all of the chumras of a klei mateches, in that it will become tummy when something touches the outside of the kli, so then you should say klei zuchuchis should have the chumrah of a klei mateches, in that if it became tummy and was broken and then reconstituted, it should become tummy just like a klei mateches. Says Gemara, no, tumas klei zuchuchis derabanan. The whole din of tumas klei zuchuchis is only a din midrabanan in the first place. And Tuma Yishana Durabanan, the whole din that a reconstituted kli that had been broken already goes back to its old Tuma, that's also only a din Durabanan. So Bituma Daraisa, Chisuba Rabbanan Tuma, Bituma Durabanan, Lo Chisuba Rabbanan Tuma. When you're dealing with Tuma Daraisa, like the Tuma of a kli mateches, so then we'll impose this Tuma Durabanan that even when it's reconstituted, there's going to be Tuma. But when you're dealing with something that at its very basic level is only a Tuma on a Durabanan level, like a Klei Zechuchis, so then we're not going to apply this Chumra Durabanan that when it's reconstituted, that it's going to become Tameh. Now the Tosos is bothered. Why didn't the Gemara just give a different answer? The Gemara could have just said that they were not misakin that Klei Zechuchis should go back to the old Tuma, like Klei Matachos, so that there will be some way to know that there's a difference between Klei Zechuchis, which is only Tameh Midrabanan, and Klei Matachos, which are Tameh Midaraisa. Meaning, if we were to make all the laws of Klei Zechuchis exactly like the laws of Klei Matachos, then people would get confused between what's Tameh on a Daraisa level and what's Tameh on a Drabanan level. So even as we impose certain chumras of Klei Matachos onto Klei Zechuchis, we cannot impose all of the chumras, because then it will make, we're not going to distinguish between that which is Tameh Daraisa and that which is Tameh Midrabanan. And why is that so dangerous? Because if Truma becomes Tameh from something that's only Tameh Midrabanan, people will think that they could be sorry for the Truma, and you're not allowed to burn Truma that's Tahar on a Daraisa level. So Tosus is bothered, why don't we just give that answer over here? The Gemara is going to say something very similar soon, so why didn't the Gemara say that over here? So Tosus suggests that since Kli Matachos are not Chozer L'Tumah Yishana on the Daraisa level either, meaning Kli Matachos that you reconstitute also on the Daraisa level do not become Tameh, it still wouldn't be enough of a difference, because on a Daraisa level, they're still the same. The only difference would have been on a Drabana level. We need to, where we distinguish between Klei Zechuchas and Klei Matachos has to be within some din Daraisa. It can't be within the din of a reconstituted broken Kli. That's not enough of a, it's not enough of a distinction. So says the Gemara, okay, but pshutein mialitame, da pshute klei matachos daraisa ninu. Why don't we say that pshute klei zechuchis are tame, meaning just a flat glass board should be tame, because if after all we're trying to give it all the chumras of a klei matachos, a flat piece of metal is also tame. So why don't we give it that chumra as well? So here's where the Gemara answers, avdi bu rabban akeira, kiech delisr v'lai etshum avakachim. The rabban and dafka wanted to make a hacker that a person shouldn't come to burn Truma and Kachim based on the Tuma of a Klei Zechuchis, because they want people to recognize that Tumas Klei Zechuchis is only Drabanan, and therefore they kept one of the Chumras of Klei Matachos away from Klei Zechuchis, and that is the Chumra of a flat Kli, that a flat Klei Zechuchis is not Mekabel Tuma, and that way people will remember that Klei Zechuchis is only Tameh on a Drabanan level. Ravashi Amar, Liolam L'Klei Cheres Damu. Ravashi says, no, forget the entire comparison between glass and metal. There's no comparison between glass and metal. Klei Cheres, Klei Zechuchis is like Klei Cheres, and that's why flat Klei Zechuchis are tar, because it's like cheres. Udukakashalach lo litamu migabon. Ah, you ask the question, then it shouldn't, then a clay zuchucha should not become tame from the outside. It shouldn't become tame when something touches the outer surface of the kli. So before we answered, oh no, we're making it a little bit like clay mateches. And now Rav Ashi's saying, no, not at all like clay mateches. We're not making it like clay mateches. It's like clay cheres. Why is it then that a clay zuchuchas becomes tame when something touches the outside of the kli? Hol v'nira tocho kivaro. Because glass is unique in that you could see right through it. So since it's transparent, the inside and the outside become one and the same. So since glass is transparent, something that touches the outside is going to be metamiyit, just like something that touches the inside. Whereas most klecheres, like this klecheres I have right here, is not transparent, and therefore if something, if tumma touches the outside of the kli, it's not going to be metame the kli at all. So that is the answer of Rav Ashi. Now the unique status of glass is a fascinating area of halacha, and it's very nogeya Tilchos Pesach as well. Trumas Hadeshin writes in the name of the Smag that a klei zuchuchis of chametz you cannot do aga'ala on. You're not allowed to kasher and then use it for Pesach because our sugya says that klei zuchuchis is like a klei cheres since it's made from sand. That fundamentally it's really a klei cheres and if it's like a klei cheres with regard to tumah, it should be like a klei cheres with regard to blios of non kosher or of chametz as well. And therefore it should be non kasherable. In Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim Sim Tafnun Aleph, in Ilchus Pesach, he paskins that klei zuchuchis are not poleya at all, that they're not poleya anything. They have no absorption of any flavor, and even if you use it for chametz or for hot chametz, you don't need agala, you just rinse it off, and it's perfectly fine. But the Ramah quotes this sheet of the Smag that the Trumas Hadeshin quotes, who's machmir and says that klei zuchuchis have to be treated with the chumrah of a klei cheres, and therefore agala does not help. So you have two extreme shitos. You have the Shulchan Aruch that says the Mechaber, and this is how the Svaradim hold that Klei Cheres not only would Hagala work, they don't even need Hagala. They're automatically kosher. There are no blios whatsoever. And then the other extreme, the Ramah, that not only are they treif, but there's no way to kasher them. That not only do they have blios of chametz, but they're unkasherable. They're just like Klei Cheres. So the Bir Agraz points out that the makar is from our sugya, that they have a din of kli cheres because tchilas briyasan minachol, and that the fact that they're mekabel tumah migabam and they're not like a kli cheres in that regard is because tocho givaro, like Rav Ashi says at the end of the sugya. The Stechemet quotes that the mahadrim amongst the svardim are knowing to be machmir like the shita of the Ramah not to do hagala on kli cheres, even though Maran hamechaber is mekil. In the Rav Pa'olim, in the Chuvas Rav Pa'olim, he says that the minhag of Anshei Baghdad is to be machshir klei zuchuchis with iroi gimel yamim, that they would do milavi iroi, which is a whole process we're not going to get into right now. I think we discussed it when we learned Maseches Avodah Zarah. So there's also a discussion about Pyrex and things like that. According to the Ramah, would Hagala work on Pyrex? Because Klei Zuchuchis, these are Klei Zuchuchis, but they're meant to be oven-to-table kind of kelim that are mamish put inside the oven. So in the Sefer Hagala's kelim, he quotes from Rav Ozner that according to the Ramah, that Hagala doesn't work by Klei Zuchuchis, the same would be true with Duralex and Pyrex and anything else that would have a din of glass, and it doesn't make a difference whether you're talking about Isser Chametz or whether you're talking about Shari Surim. And in fact, that's how Rav Ozner writes in the Tshuva and Shevet Alevi, Chelek Beis, Simen Mem Gimel, that it's fundamentally a Klei Cheres, and Mela, there is no kashering. However, other poskim, the Shar Mitzvah Ba'alacha, he quotes that even according to the Ramah, it could be that Duralex and Pyrex can be kashered, because the whole reason Agal doesn't work by Kli Zuchuchis is because there's a chashash that a person is going to shame yachus alehen, that a person is going to be afraid to expose the Kli to that level of heat, because he's going to be afraid that it's going to destroy the Kli, that it's going to break the Kli. Well, if something is made to be put in the oven, it's made to be exposed to very high levels of heat, then it's very unlikely that the person is going to be afraid to do a simple hagala on the kli. And that's why a number of the poskim think that even if regular klei zechuchis are not subject to hagala, like the Rama says, but those kinds of klei zechuchis where there's absolutely no concern that the person is going to be afraid to expose it to very, very intense levels of heat, because it's made to be exposed to such intense levels of heat, maybe such kelim would be you would be able to kasher. I think that the minhag is that when it comes to minhag, it's but we're still struggling with every posek and every kashrus organization has a different shita about the glass top stove tops, right? That the entire stove top is glass. But certainly, I think the general assumption of most poskim is that the area that actually becomes red hot, that circle that actually becomes red hot, that is the that is the most intense heat you can ever have. That is mamish like the level of libun chamor. It's like esh mamish. That could be kasher just by baking it red hot. That there's no concern that you're going to be that you're going to be afraid to expose that level of heat. The bigger issue is the area in between the burners. The area in between the burners, there is a fear of exposing it to that level of heat. They used to say that just take a few layers of heavy duty foil and cover the entire glass top and then turn it on high for 15 minutes and see what happens. And we saw what happens. It breaks. The whole thing shatters, because although the area where the burners are is meant to get that hot, the area in between is not meant to get that hot, which means the fact that it breaks means that a person can't even say, it's okay, I don't mind, I'll take my chances. I'll risk it breaking. No, because if it breaks, then we're back to that gezeira that the Rama has of kli cheres, that if something would break, then you can't kasher it in that way. So we just generally advise just being careful not to put anything down directly on it. Many poskim are even makvid to try to be careful not to put something directly down on the burner itself. They have these heat diffusers you could buy on Amazon for like $7 that you could that just cover the actual burners themselves. So that's a good aid. For a lot of people, it lifts the pot off of the stove without ruining the ability of the stove to cook. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now. Shimon ben Shetach tikin ksuba liisha v'gazer tuma al klei matechos, that he was misakin ksuba for a woman and he was gazer tuma on klei matechos. It says Gemara klei matechos d'oraisa ninu. What do you mean he's gozer on klei matechos? Din d'oraisa tichsev achas hazoha v'esa kesef, that the Torah tells us that metal kalim have a status of tumah and tahara, and they require if they become tamei to a mace, they require a meinida, they require mechatos, rather they require the efer paraduma. So the mekabel tumah min haTorah, absolutely. So what do you mean? It's only a takana derabanan. So says Mar lo nitzrucha ella l'tumah yishana. No, his takana was the din of tumah yishana, that when you break it and it was tahar and now you reconstitute it, that it goes back to its old tumah. Tam Rav Yidom Rav Maisa b'shal tziona malka. There was a story with with Tziona Malka that in the days of Shimon ben Shetach, Shasa Mishta Levna, she made a party for her son, Vinitmu Kol Keleha, and it happened to be someone must have died in the house that day. All of her kelim became tummy to a mace, and now, in order to be mitire them in the conventional way, it would have taken a week, because you need to secure Efer Parah Adumah, and then it takes a week, because you need to do Azah, Shlishi, and Shvi'i, so she didn't have that kind of time. The wedding was today, so v'nitmu kol kela, all of her kelim became tummy, so in order to be mitire them, v'shvartan, she had them all broken, unesanatan l'tzoref, she was a rich woman, she could afford to bring them to someone who could then fix them, right? So she had them all broken, and then refixed veritchan, and they were reattached and kelim chadashim, and they were turned into brand new kelim. Vamur chachamim yachzru l'tumas and yishana. The chacham said, sorry, it doesn't work. That even on a daraisa level, it would have worked, because breaking the kelim makes them tahar. Reconstituting them is a brand new kli, so they're not going to be tamei. But midrabbanan, the rabbanan said it's not going to work. The rabbanan say the old tuma is going to return. My time, why would the old tuma return? Mishum geder mechatos naguba. They were afraid that people would forget about the entire concept of mechatos, of being mitar something with the Efer Paraduma. If we were mitar something b'shvirasam, and it would not go back to its old tumma when you fix them, so no one is going to wait the 7 days to do azah shlishi yushvi with mechatas, so everyone's going to forget that there is even such a concept of mechatas. So that's the gezeira. Sfasemes has a shaila about a chakira, about what the nature of this gezeira was. Meaning, is this gezeira that when it breaks, it remains tame? Meaning that they simply took away the method of tahara of breaking and said that the only method of tahara is mechatas, or is it no? When it's actually broken, it's tahar. It's just that when you reconstitute it, which is the pashas of the Gemara, when you reconstitute it, the tumah returns. L'may nafkamina, what if you did azah shlishi ushvi'i while it was broken, says the Sfas Emes. So if you hold that when it breaks, it never became tahar, it's tamei, that's the ultakana drabanan. So you do azah shlishi ushvi'i while it's broken, you are now being mitaherit, and then when you reconstitute it, it's going to remain tahar. But if you hold that when it breaks, it is already tahar, it's just that there's a tumah that where goes there that when you rebuild it, the tumah comes back. Whatever azah shlishi yishvi you did while it was broken is useless. It didn't need azah shlishi yishvi while it was broken. That's the chakir of the Sfas Emes. He tainas it's a machlokas Rambam and Ravid in Hilchos Kalim. Okay, hani chalamandi amar lekal tumas amru el tumas ames lo lekal hani chalamandi amar lo lekal tumas amru el tumas ames bulvad amru. I understand very well if you hold that the idea of the old tumah coming back is not for every tumah, it's only for tumas mace. So shapir, then I understand that the reason that there were gozer tumah yeshana was on account of the fact that people are going to forget about the tara of the paraduma, because it's, that makes sense if you assume that tumah yeshana is only for tumas mace, where paraduma actually helps. But if you say that the gzeira of tumah yeshana applies to every type of tumah, ma'ikel emeimar, how are you going to explain the gzeira of tumah yeshana? The reason of the geder of mechatas doesn't apply to other tumas. It only applies. Mechatas only applies to tumas meis. So Amravaye gzeira shemelo yikvenu b'ktei taharaso. Now the gzeira is that maybe when you break it, you're not going to break it enough, and it's not actually going to become tahar. You're going to make a tiny hole in it, which doesn't actually ruin it as a kli. And Rava Amar, Rava says a different answer. Gzeira shemiyomru tevila bas yoma olala. The gzeira is that people are going to think that when you tovel something, you don't have to wait for har of shemesh. You don't have to wait for the sun to set that evening, and that it's immediately tahar. Because someone who sees a kli that was tamei, and then they see that you're using it an hour later during the same day, they're not going to realize that you broke it and fixed it. They're going to assume you just did what you normally would do. You brought it to the mikveh. And they're going to think that bringing it to the mikveh is good enough and you don't have to wait for har of shemesh. So because of that, they made such a gezeira. Says the Gemara, what's the nafkamina between Abaye and Rava? Again, the Gemara wanted to know, why were we gozer that when you reconstitute a kli, the tumah comes back? I understand when it comes to tumas mace why we were gozer, but why by other tumos? So we had two answers. Abaye said, because you might not break it enough. And Rava said, because of Gzeira, that people will think that Tara B'mikvah works immediately. So says Gemara, so what's the nafkamina between those answers? So the Marsha is bothered, why don't you just say the Pasha, the nafkamina, is that you broke it, and now you're using it after Shkia. You're using it after sunset. So the Gzeira of people are going to think that you don't need Har of Shemesh won't apply, but the Gzeira that you might not break it enough will apply. So the Marsha is a little bit bothered by that. He works on an answer for that. So anyway, says the Gemara, Ika Benayu, the Gemara's nafkamina is Teratzfinu Mirtzaf, that you broke the kli entirely. So the idea that maybe you're not going to break it enough, we have to be choshish that maybe the next time you're not going to break it enough. But the idea that people are going to say that you don't need Har of Shemesh, you don't have to such a concern because it doesn't even look like the same kli. Meaning if you mamish destroyed the kli, when you rebuild it, it's not even going to look like the same kli. So no one's going to say, oh, this is, he's using the kli that was tummy this morning without Har of Shemesh. It doesn't even look like the kli that was tummy this morning. But if the concern is that you might not break it enough, so then you deciding to really destroy it doesn't help. We're still concerned that next time you might not break it enough. Period. Now the last topic of today's daf. V'idach mayhi. What's another gezeira that we had amongst the Yudches Davar? Ditnan. The Mishnah says in Maseches Mikvaos. Hamniach kelim tachas atzinah lekabel ben megishamim. If you put kelim underneath a spout, a gutter, in order to catch the rainwater that's running off, echod kelim gedolim, whether these are super large kelim that are not mekabel tuma because they're so humongous, they're not metaltal male verekan, echod kelim katanim, or whether they're tiny kelim that you might think are totally not chashav and not mekabel tuma, vafilu klei avanim uklei adama, even if they're klei avanim uklei adama, and they're not like klei cheres or klei neser, uklei galalim, or kelim that are made out of galalim, out of whatever, either marble or dung or whatever, so poslenes hamikvah, they would put the water that gathers in such kelim has a din of mayim she'uvin and will passel the mikvah. So the Tana adds, echad ha-miniach v'echad ha-shocheach divrei Beis Shammai, but Rabbi Silla matar b'shocheach. Beis Shammai says, and it doesn't matter how that rainwater got into that kli, whether you dafka placed the kli there to catch the rainwater, or whether you just forgot the kli out in your yard and it turned out that it filled up with rainwater. But Beis Silla says, no, if you forgot the kli there and then it filled with rainwater, but you had no kavana to fill that kli with rainwater, then it's not going to be a problem of mayim she'uvin. That's not called she'iva. So Amar Rabbi Meir, nimnu v'rabu Beis Shammai al Beis Silla, they took a vote, and the Beis Shammai outnumbered the Beis Hillel on this issue. If you forgot kelim out in the yard and it filled with rainwater, and the Beis Shammai won the vote that the water that gathers passels a mikvah. Umodim Beis Shammai b'shocheach b'chotzer shu tohar. But Beis Shammai is modded to Beis Hillel if you forgot kelim in a chotzer, not underneath the drain pipe, and it filled straight with rainwater, that's going to be tar. That's not going to be considered Mayim Shu'uvin. So at the end of the day, if you forget a kli and you right underneath the drain pipe, then it's going to be Mayim Shu'uvin when it fills with water. But if you forget a kli in the middle of your yard and just fills directly with rainwater, then it's not going to be Mayim Shu'uvin. So Amar Rabbi Yossi Adayin Machlokas B'Mekom Amedes. Rabbi Yossi says no. Both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai would still maintain their shitos that if you put kelim under a drain pipe and you forget it there and it did that it's going to be machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel whether it's psul mayim shuuvim, that Beis Shammai holds it's a problem, Beis Hillel holds that it's fine, and Beis Shammai never outvoted Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel never changed their minds and agreed to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel still maintains their shita, says Rabbi Yossi. So Amr of Misharshia to Bei Rav Amri, that they said in the Beis Medrash of Rav, Hakol modim kisheinichem b'shas kishur oven. Everyone would agree that if you put a kli underneath the drain pipe when it started to get cloudy and it looked like it was about to rain, and then you forgot about them and you went to work or whatever, and you came back from work and obviously it rained and it filled with water, that's tameim. Everyone agrees that that's considered mayim she'uvim because that was your kavana when you put the kli there in the first place. Bishas pizor avim, if it was a bright sunny day in a blue sky and you put the kli there under the drain pipe and then you forgot about it and you went to work and you came back and it happened to have rained, then everyone's going to agree that's not Mayim Shu'uvin because you never were Megaladas that you were interested in the Kli filling with rain. Lo nechlik ve'ela she'nichem b'shas kishur avim v'nispazru v'chazru v'niskashru. The whole machlokas is if you put it there when it was very cloudy, when the sky was looking gloomy, and then the clouds dispersed, and then they came back. So then, Mar Savar Batal Machshavaso, the Beis Hillel holds that the original Machshava to have them filled with water was Batal as soon as the sky became blue in between, and therefore it's not a problem of Mayim Shuvin. Umar Savar Babe Shammai holds Lo Batal Machshavto. You put it there when it was dark and gloomy in order that it should catch rainwater, and in the end, it caught the rainwater. So what difference does it make that it became that the sun came out in between? So it would passel the mikvah, it would be Mayim Shuvin. And according to Rabbi Yossi, who says that Beis Hillel never agreed to Beis Shammai, Batri Luhu asked the Gemara, so now we're short one on our list of 18 gzeros, because the one thing that the Yudches Davar have in common is not only that Beis Shammai outvoted the Beis Hillel, but that Chazu Beis Hillel Lahoros Kedivrei Beis Shammai, that ultimately the Beis Hillel agreed to all of Beis Shammai's gzeros. So if you're going to say that on this one, Beis Hillel never agreed to Beis Shammai's gzera, so you're going to be down to 17. din, you're not going to have Yud Ches Davar, and then you can't call this the sugya of Yud Ches Davar, you're going to have to call it the sugya of Yud Zayin Davar, and that ruins everything. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Af Benos Kutim Nidos Me'er Sasan, Bo Bayom Gazu. There was another gezera that they made, that Benos Kutim, the daughters of Kutim, have a status of Nida, even when they're tiny little babies, when they're in the crib. And that was one of the gezeros that they made on that day, because we're afraid that she's actually, for whatever reason, they made a gezera. This is a sugya we had in Maseches Nida that she's tameh, because the kutim don't have the drasha that we have. We have such a drasha that a ketana bas yom echad could be mitameh ben nida, but kutim don't hold of that drasha, and therefore they would never even pay attention to that tumah. So they made a gezera that all the benos kutim have a status of nida me'arisas, and as uncommon as it might be for such a young baby to have any dam come out of them. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up the two. That's just a reminder. Tomorrow and every other day of the week, the shiur is at 6:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, okay, look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow. Have a great day. Stay safe. Stay sane. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Rabbi, hang on for a second. Okay. Rabbi, hang on for a second.